Good morning, everyone. Look to your person next to you and say, glory is on you. Look to the other person and say, whatever you want. You can figure something out. Man, so, so good. Give it up for the worship team, Shane and everybody. Tracy, so thankful. And Bianca, where she went, so grateful. Wow, right there, that's perfect. So thankful, so, so good. Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, if you all, did you plan the white? Y'all did, or y'all heard the Lord? I love that, man. Y'all got to do that more often. But did y'all plan it with Emerson in the backdrop? No. See, it's the white flowers. Y'all heard the Lord. I was like, hold on, they're both in bridal white, and then we got the, and I'm kind of, no, I'm totally preaching on that this morning, because you always hear, Shireen, you always hear stuff like that. I just remembered I'm preaching on that in a sense, and then Emerson knew, he threw the flowers up. Anyway, yeah, so thank you, Jesus. Everybody feeling good? Yes. Had your coffee? Tea? Who does the tea? Respect. I'll drink tea and just go right to sleep. That's awesome. Who does really strong coffee? Yes, Lord. I knew we had some spirit-filled folks. I'm teasing. I know my man Tommy, he just goes straight black. And it's so good. Anyway, I'm going to pray. Really excited to see where this thing goes, and won't keep you long. Oh, yeah, so I'll share it after I pray, but the direction we're going to go. I don't even have notes or anything, but yeah, Lord, thank you so much for your presence. God, you're so faithful, so, so good. Thank you for your word. I pray that it would go forth, and we know it never returns void. Lord, let it go into the hearts of men. I pray that you'd prepare our hearts to be fresh soil, to receive the seed of your word. Lord, let it go forth and heal them. I love that Psalm says your word went forth and healed them. Go ahead and be healed in your body, even as the word goes out over you, both in the house and across the world online. Be healed right now. Be filled with the Spirit. And most importantly, Jesus, be glorified. We love you. Amen. How's my people doing in the back? I'm loving them back seats. That's awesome. Yeah. Wait, who's this? Is that Gavin back there? Yes, bro. What's up, dude? Back row in the glory. I love that. Because it was a few Sundays ago, I got up and I said, oh, we're getting snug as a bug in a rug up in here. So we were able to add some, praise him. And that's awesome. Yeah, man, our LED wall resurrected. Praise the Lord. You should have seen me last night. Me and Judah were actually in here late. I wish I could take credit. I was like moral support. He was working. I was like, doing good, buddy. What do you need me to do? And it was funny. It was about right at this mid-aisle. He finally, with his genius self, figured something and got it working. And I did one of those, you know, you run and you kick your heat. You do the, I was about right there. 46 this month and I'm still doing the, oh yeah. Well, you guys got to stay young. But I was doing that because, like, let's get out of here, man. I got to pray in the morning. But I was happy to, praise the Lord. And Maddie passed her driving test. Give it up. I talked to Portal. Your dad told me. Did you have any close calls or you did good? You want it? 100%. Look at her. Brilliant. Yes. So proud of you. She's like, unlike you, Pastor Brian. Yeah, no, I was talking with Porter, I think it was yesterday, the day before, and he told me, so exciting. So yeah, be glorified, Lord. So this morning, basically, you know, I told you guys this is why I kind of prefaced it up front on the counterbalancing theme, to kind of let the Lord direct us. I'm looking at that counterbalancing theme similar to our schools, or we just stay in these themes and we just ride it and grind it in a good way biblically. And so there's a lot still there. We'll hopefully just dip in and out on it. This morning I was awakened at what I thought it was. It was 3:24. I didn't know the time change till Bianca mentioned that. So I only got like 4 hours sleep. I thought I slept a little more, but I feel good. I looked over to Zoe. I said, the time change? When Bianca mentioned it, because your phone changes anyway. So it just was what it was. But I was awakened out. I'll share this quickly just to build it, and then we'll hopefully be in just three passages, how I saw them overlap and go from there and see where it goes and pray. But no, so I was awakened at 3:24 hearing this song. I won't go into that, but it simply was pointing to the song is all about just everything back to Jesus. Everything simply back to Him. Loving Him, He's the fix, it's Him. And so it was interesting, came out of this, because me and Judah, like I said, were late and awakened out of it, and I'm hearing it. In the 3:24, some of you may remember this that have followed us for any length of time. This thing kind of hit about, what are we in, 4 or 5 years ago, late 2019, this whole 3:24 thing with the Lord. And so He knows when He catches me with it, I know what He's doing, and that's why we're just going to go this way this morning. And so Christmas Eve 2019, this experience happened that was interesting. It was actually the night before, up with my family, Christmas Eve, and we weren't doing anything super spiritual at all, just family time. And the best way I can describe it was out over my bed, kind of over here, my spiritual eyes were opened. How many of you know you have spiritual eyes that can literally be opened to see into the spirit realm? You know, you see this, and with Elisha, he says, "Oh, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see with his servant." And just want to encourage us to always be going to the Lord, but realizing these biblical truths are available. You know, heaven's here. There's angels in the room, guaranteed. The kingdom of heaven, if the Lord just pulled back slightly the veil of heaven, you'd be blown away. Demons too, which welcome them in the glory. If you're getting a little pet demons, it don't matter. I mean, wherever people are at, both worlds are there. I'm just telling you. So anyway, so this is right up over my bed this way. It was like a membrane. It's hard to explain from the separated heaven and earth, I guess. And all it simply was with that was the knock of the Lord. You mentioned it just now in prayer. It was the fist of Jesus. All knuckles just, and it knocks on this membrane. You know, that's the best way I'm calling it. And abruptly awakened me. It wasn't like an intimate, like, you know, trying to woo you. It was a shaking awakening. It startled me. And I was awakened out of sleep, knew to check the clock because I've had these prophetic experiences happen. And it was 3:24. This is 2019. And had no clue within months the whole world was about to flip upside down and everybody was going to be forced into their home. Whenever you hear the Lord knock, there's only two places biblically. It's Revelation 3:20, always with me. And it can overlap to Song of Solomon 2. We'll go there in a second. But when He knocks, as even Bianca mentioned, you can look at it as a door of your heart. It's kind of, this could be a sequel to the Matthew 6 secret place door I was mentioning, I don't know, a few weeks ago. But remember, I was saying we need a Matthew 6 door, closet shutting, to give Him one to knock on, if you guys remember that. So anyway, his knocks. I was abruptly awakened. And I began to ask the Lord, I said, "Lord, there's a lot there." And I'm realizing he's doing a part two to it. But back then, I knew over the next 4 years, 2:24, there was this whole thing. He was knocking, wooing His people. But then He overlapped it with Revelation 3:20 and Revelation 3:2-4, the churches of Sardis, churches of Laodicea. Not to get too bogged down here, but they really, out of all seven churches in Revelation, these two mimic each other so similarly. The church of Sardis, Jesus says, He says, "You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. You kind of think you got it going on, but trust me, my assessment of you is you're dead." Church of Laodicea, same thing. He says, "You think you're rich, need nothing, got it going on, but you're poor, blind, naked." Same thing. And both of them, He hits the white garments. He goes, "You've got to have white garments in this last hour and all this." And then the world flips upside down and everybody's stuck at home. How many of you, the COVID thing was a blessing to you? I know it blessed a lot. Somehow the Lord blessed a lot of people. Like, I never went back to work. I'm just on Zoom calls, making money in my PJs. I mean, a lot of people I talk to, it's awesome how the Lord will do that. They do the whole Zoom. It's like the tie and that bottom half beat PJs. And they're like, yeah, you know. But anyway, so it was this whole thing. And so this morning, awakened out of it, it's these few verses I want to emphasize, and it's God's loving kindness, his goodness. And I feel like an invitation, really, kind of a sequel to Matthew 6. I've been sensing it for quite a time anyway, specifically in this window we're in right now, going into next year. And I feel like it's an invitation the Lord's giving some that would yield into it, but it's a serious one. It's a costly one. You can keep on doing things as you have, and he loves you, and you know, some of destiny will still come about, and it will be good. But sometimes there's a high price he calls people into, and he invites you, and it can be costly. And I'm praying. I yield into it as well. I'm totally preaching to me. But I feel like it's being made available right now. And sorry. So it's really good. So we'll start in Revelation 3. Church of Laodicea, really good. I just talk to you from my heart, starting in verse 14. And, you know, like I said, I pray it hooks a few of us, you know, again, me included, because these type invitations, they're always there. We know the Lord, the word's always there, but there's these just few windows, and that's why I was abruptly, you know, awakened. I feel like there's a knock. And I'll be honest, I don't know this. I don't know this, but being awakened again out of that 324 thing this morning. Oh, and that's what it was. I was like, Lord, there's a lot to it. This has been so many years now. I was like, Lord, why Christmas Eve? Like, why did you pick that date? Because I know he's super calculated. And he began to show me, you know, you all see Christmas as my first coming, symbolic date of my first coming. You know, it was Eve right before what we celebrate as his first coming into the earth. He said, I'm knocking now because I'm on the eve of my second coming, second and final return. And so that was a big piece to it that I was like, wow, he's really, like really, I think we hear these things sometimes, and if we're not careful, it becomes a bit cliche. Yes. And we go back to work tomorrow, and we get under the umbrella of just society and the culture, and it says clearly in Matthew 24, it says, look, it will be as though it were in the days of Noah. Many will be marrying, going about, and then all of a sudden, wham, he comes. Right. Like you can never go off of the world's demeanor, their disposition. You can't go off of that. We've got to stay real sharp in this hour. Have ears to hear real sharp. We can't be dull. And so it's so good. And how it starts is that the knock again will start in verse 14. Jesus talking to the church of Laodicea, which everybody knows is kind of a picture of the last day church, you and I. He says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, stop right there, that word church there too, I think there's, we could sit here forever. This is so rich, so powerful. But that word church there, if you study it out, it means ekklesia. It's a Greek word, ekklesia, that means simply an assembly or congregation. Sorry, you and I. But you dig deeper into that word, it's really powerful. It actually means an assembly or a congregation summoned by God. And it also means this, an assembly, a congregation called out of the world and unto God. That's very important right now. Very, very important with where we're going, and he'll slowly build into white garments and buying gold and all this. But it's super important right now, the assembly, the congregation, however that looks to everybody in your season. But he's not saying, hey, to you, mighty prophet, write to the prophet, write to the apostle, write to the super saint, to the church. He's after his body. He's trying to have his head rest on his bride. He's trying to become one with his bride. And we need each other. We just got to get over ourselves. It's a whole other teaching. Just die to us, get over our differences, and be the assembly that he's calling, but all, he's also calling us out of the world. He's summoning us out from the world and unto him. And so if there's anything still in us wanting to kind of mesh with the world, it's not who he's writing to right now. That true word ekklesia, it's a summoning out of the world unto God. We still want to win the world, go after the lost sheep, but there's something in us that's not of this world. I want to encourage you to, like, we're not trying to fit in here. I don't know if you knew that. We're a peculiar people, the Bible says. We're not meant to fit in. Foreigners, strangers in the earth. Do not fit in. Do not try and appease. I get Paul says, I'll become like people to win them, but that's a whole nother thing. As far as the world system, we are detaching like never before. We're going far, far and quick away from darkness and unto bright, bright light. This is the hour you go in more into light, more into light. Expose me, Lord, help me. I don't really want anything to hide. I need help, Lord. You're everything. We just humble ourselves and repent, go to light. And that's what he's calling us. There's a grace right now to come out of it. And thank God, it's so, so good. And so he says, these things says the amen, the faithful and true witness. Even that amen there, it's just so much here, so rich. I'll slowly lift the plane, then we'll punch it, and then we'll land it quick. Is that cool? You ever been on a plane where they are late taking off, so then they just punch it in the air, and they get you to the city at the same time? Yeah. Man, I've been on some rough rides, some sketchy plane rides. One, I was on, I don't know if I was going to share this, but I was going to Brazil, and Brazilians, we got any Brazilians in the house? Daniela, of course, she's amazing. Come on, Brazilians. Yes, Lord. Are you from the Atlanta area? You visiting?
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Daniela, do you know them? Whoa. Well, of course, Jason and Jenny told me. What part? Where is it? Okay, amazing. Welcome. I love Brazil. I don't know that city, but I've been to Londrina, Campinas, you know, São Paulo, all there. And love churrascaria. Can you cook the churrascarias? We're coming to your house after. Anyway, but Brazilians are a wild man. Baddest worshipers in a good way that I've ever seen on the earth. Like, you want to go to the Brazilian section in heaven when you worship. I've literally, first time I've ever seen a young lady go into what they call a dance trance. She was so worshiping the Lord, she checked out and she was in a trance and her body's still moving. That's a little out there for some, but she was gone in the glory and presence of God. They're going to visions and all this. Anyway, so we're about to land in Brazil and it was really rough. I mean, boom, we were dropping. The turbulence was crazy. Person in front of me, their coffee flew and hit the ceiling, splashed. It was the worst turbulence I've ever seen. Yeah. And the Brazilians were like, yeah! They thought it was like a roller coaster ride. They're like, this is amazing. And I'm like, no, this is not amazing. Your coffee hit the ceiling, you know. And then when you land, you all clap. I love it. At least this plane did. Yeah, Brazilians are amazing. And how did I get there? Anyway, we'll take off, punch it, and we'll land. But the amen, Jesus says, this is another kind of, I think, you know, expression he's in right now in this hour. He says, I come. You got to watch that. Slow down. You know, he says to the church of Laodicea, write. It's another one. When he says write something down, the significance really has a lot more weight on it. Don't just pass this along here. Say, write this down. I can't have one word be missed. It must be permanent forever. And the weight of it just hits all-time high. But he says, I'm the amen. That word means the conclusion of a matter. So be it. I can feel, I've been feeling this for quite a while now. The Lord is in such grace, mercy, always trying to balance this out. Loving kindness, patience, all that. But he's the amen right now. He's concluding things. He like talks super cheap right now. He'll tell you so many times in so loving and patient, but now he's starting to just conclude things. He's like, what I've been telling you, either if you yield, praise God, because I'm going to conclude it right now and bring it about, and so be things, so be it. Or if you miss it, I still love you, but it's also going to cost you that way. He's the amen. He's concluding things. There's Proverbs, I think 29, it's a powerful one. It says, mere talk alone doesn't work with a servant. It's a very interesting proverb. You think, what do you mean? Meaning sometimes they got to feel it. You tell them, they don't yield. You tell a servant, and then, all right, I told you about 8 times. You didn't yield. Now you're about to feel it. That's where discipline comes in and judgment. And there's this side to God, and he's never wanting to go to plan B, but he gladly will. And so the amen side to him, thank God Thank God he's not, you know, only on the other side, because it's just not pure love. Pure love is balanced right in the middle where truth is. But he's the amen, and he's concluding matters. He's faithful and true. I'm going to try and go quick. We're starting to speed up the plane. Faithful and true is really important right now that we align with his expression, that you and I are faithful and true in this hour. Anything the Lord spoke to you and is speaking, stay real faithful to that and stay very true to that. And that word faithful is much more than just consistency, it's loyalty. Faithfulness is a whole another ballgame where a lot of people will be consistently, you know, it appears to be faithful, but as soon as something, a better opportunity pitches itself, they're gone. And that's where loyalty is not really there. Does that make sense? It's not faithful. And Jesus is so perfect because he's always both. He's faithful and true. And if he can help us become more like him in this way, it would be so incredible for his glory, because when you find both of those together, it's just incredible. It's a rare sight to see. And I'm even talking to me to where you're faithful, both consistently, but loyal, immovable. When God tells you something, doesn't matter. Everybody else gets a better opportunity. Other ones are pitched. I'm faithful. I'm not coming off of it. And then also true with it means, yes, of course, you're truthful, but you're true and pure in motives. You're very true and clean and clear. There's no what's in it for me. And I'm faithful because, and it's just because he spoke and he's there. And this is how he is to us. Thank God. So he's that as well. This is one of my favorites. He says the beginning of the creation of God. You think, why do you bring that into it? He says, look, John, write to the angel of the church of Laodicea and, you know, tell them I am the amen, the faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God, because he's basically saying, this is my aim and goal. I'm concluding matters now in a very faithful and true way. And that's all, I'm also looking in my bride to find what I am. He's looking to find her faithful and true, very consistent, loyal, and pure in motives. But you say, why, Lord? He says, the beginning of the creation of God, he's trying to take everything back to the beginning of the creation of God before man fell. That union, that's what he's looking for. You know, not right after creation when man fell, the beginning of it, where it was God and man walking in the cool of the day, that union, that's all he's after. That's what this whole book's about. It starts with God and man in the cool of the day, intimacy, union, and it ends with the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's, this whole thing's a big love letter. Do we destroy the works of the devil? Do we, you know, ask for nations and raise up disciples? Oh, yeah. But cover to cover, if you simplify this thing in its purest form, he just wants a bride. The Father's just looking for sons and daughters. It's pure love because it's who he is. So I love that Jesus is on the scene. He goes, I'm coming from the beginning of the creation of God, that one window before man fell. And not before creation, because man wasn't there yet. I need my bride. Are you seeing that? It's so powerful, that one window where he says the beginning of the creation of God. And then verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Because, and this is the part I mentioned earlier, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and this is a big, big key right here, and do not know. Eli, what's up, dude? One of the greatest indicators of being lukewarm is you don't know it. Help us, Lord. Please just for a second go with me and let's look right at us. Not condemning, not self-introspective. God's never into that. But like just a real, please, you assess me, Lord. Like, I don't trust my assessment. Because I'm seeing a whole church that thought they had it going on. And then Sardis the same. And I'm going to go with yours, Lord. So how can I be so confident to think that my assessment is accurate when all these, you know what I mean? Even Paul time and time again says, don't think of yourself too highly. Because we're apt to lean that way. And so for a second, if we just go, wait a minute, man, I could very well be lukewarm right now. I might have burned more in seasons past. And if we can truthfully say that, then he's talking to us, not mad at us. He loves us, thank God. But this invitation I'm building onto, it's addressing it, that's all. So because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know. Just want to point that out. Remember, he says you're lukewarm, not cold or hot. Wish you were one or the other. I can do something with one or the other. If you're cold, I can try and get you born again. If you're hot, that's where we want to be. If you're lukewarm, is you're right in that middle and you think you got it going on and whatever. And so we do not know. That's a good indicator. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So quick run through on these three. I taught this about maybe a year or two ago in school, in our school. How I see these, and you could preach them a million different ways, but for me, like the highest value of knowing him and loving him is that gold. He says, look, I counsel you. He's not going to make us. He advises this thing. If you say, you know, what would be the counsel of the Lord today? If I went and just, I had a one-on-one with the Lord, what would be his counsel in this last hour? I think it would look something like this. He goes, I would counsel you to buy from me, the Lord, gold refined in fire. So right there, by him saying, buy from me, it shows you there's going to be a cost. So this invitation I'm talking about, and please know, I'm not talking about works. I never am. Legalism and striving in God. You can't earn anything. Jesus paid it all. We know that. Sometimes just for other ones or newcomers, I got to just make that clear. But also, it's very evident in Scripture, Jesus says, buy. That implies a cost, a price. So just know this invitation I'm sensing once again of this the 324 now, I realize the Lord is coming back around. We're in the third month of the 24th year right now. And you'll see the second Song of Solomon 2, and I feel like it's going to span through the rest of the year going into next. It's an invitation and window, and I pray some of us would take it. I hope hearts start to burn. Sometimes these windows come, and if we're not careful, you can not buy. You don't go that extra level where it costs you something. Because I got comfortable, I know this season all too well. I can have a rhythm now. I'm this way totally. Do you ever get you find a rhythm in life and you stick with it because it works? I'm totally that way. Well, sometimes the Lord comes around in his loving kindness. He woos us, road to Emmaus. Your heart's kind of burning, and he goes, okay, now it's going to cost you. This is not a freebie. I use the word buy on purpose. This thing has a price to it. And it's gold. And every time the Lord mentions gold, and you see it in Scripture, it's always that holy of holies, that secret place, that one, a union. It's intimacy. It's the highest goal in life, to know him. He goes, I'm just telling you now, lukewarm, I got the fix for it. And what I'm burning for, because I'm trying to get things back to the beginning of the creation of God. I'm trying to solidify and conclude things and call my bride back to the beginning. And thank you, sir. So appreciate it, man. And let me know if you need it back. You don't cry. Jared, don't cry. He's tough as nails. He cries inside with the Lord. But we could borrow it if you need it. But anyway, I'm trying to get things back to the beginning of the creation of God, that cool of the day before sin came in, you know, and then the union with his bride. But I love this. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold. You always find gold in the holy of holies. You start going out, it gets bronze and outer courts. But that is that price needed to be paid in regard to intimacy and loving and knowing him. And see, this is where sometimes people, they'll blur it because it's like, no, it's not a price. We love the Lord. But everything that, just know this, everything the Lord refers to as having to purchase something, he's addressing the side of our flesh that where it costs you. That's what he's addressing. Your spirit is not a cost at all. And I know that. So your spirit, it's like there is no price. He says, even in regards to prayer, Jesus says, your flesh is weak. See, that's why it's a price to pay. Your flesh is weak. It's a price that has to be paid by your flesh to pray sometimes. Are you guys being honest? Sometimes it can be like, I want to just stay in bed, or I'm not feeling good today. I'm not feeling the Lord. And but your spirit, he says, flesh is weak, spirit is willing. Spirit's always like, yes, Lord, give me the gold, give me the word. You can't get enough. So when he's saying buy, just know that. He's talking about the flesh side. Even white garments is living pure and being set apart. Matching our righteousness unto his, not taking away from his, but the Bible says, be holy as he is holy. I'm going to get to here in a second. So anyway, back to the gold, though, I really feel like the Lord's wooing some in this hour to pay a price in intimacy that you've not known in seasons past. It's going to cost you. I'm telling you, it's going to cost you. If you want to keep riding the same train, go for it. But there's an invitation I know clearly from the Lord right now to some that will take it, and it's going to cost you. Just know this. If it doesn't cost you, you haven't purchased anything in this context. He says buy. You can look at that word a million different ways. Study it out in Greek. It's purchase. It's buy. It's price. It will cost. So know this. If your prayer life right now in that gold, intimate focus, if it's at a level that's just kind of coasting and it's not really costing you, we're not talking about the same thing. This one that the Lord's talking about will guaranteed be a price. It will cost you. And I pray by his grace, he just starts to burn something in our heart. You know what? Yeah, why am I? I'm not going to waste another year. Like, I thought things were going to look different from last year and they're similar. I'm not doing that again. In 24 right now, we'll see in the second Song of Solomon 2, through the winter, are up to winter again. No, man, bye. Bye-bye, world. It's a different bunch that jumps on this one. But they come around, and he gives an invitation. Look, I'm counseling you. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to love you like you never do. I'll be right there. Never leave you nor forsake you. Fill you with my spirit. Please dive into my word. I am it. But this thing I'm talking about that you actually see later on, the church of Laodicea says, if you overcome like I did, see, this is why he's talking about the flesh here. He says, if you overcame as I overcame, how did he overcame? Completely gave it all up. I sat with my Father on his throne and you'll sit with me on mine. There's an authority coming to some that will take this invitation that this earth has never seen. They're going to hit a place on his throne that's straight authority. Not so we can be wow, but he can get glory. But you're going to be able to track it back to 2024, man. They started like shucking it out. Price. Price. Not works. Not we're amazing. Flesh, though. Flesh is going to want to say, no, don't pay that. Spirit's like, no, I'm willing. I'm willing. Don't pay that. And you can feel it right now. It's a beautiful, beautiful invitation. So the gold, refined by fire. White garments. This is the purity that would clothe the shame of our nakedness. Right now, just so you know, if we're not going further and further, as I mentioned to earlier, to light, the shame of nakedness is getting exposed. Flesh, we must be covered in holiness by the Spirit, which again is all of what he's paid for, but there is an aligning with it that we must realize in Scripture. And we'll see right here. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, verse 18, that you may be rich. The richest people in the earth are those that dwell in that holy of holies. You've at that point, you've gotten the most valuable thing you could ever access, knowing him, becoming one with him, intimately with him. The enemy looks into the spirit realm, and the most wealthy billionaires by spiritual means are the ones that know him. The gifts he's not intimidated by. He's like, oh yeah, a lot of those show up in Matthew 7. The Lord doesn't even know them. A lot of people that are boom, sis, boom, bah, and gifts, which we love, let's do more of it, always. They're depleted in their spiritual bank accounts. They're not rich at all. Because the Lord says, I don't know you. But where we can really win on both sides for his glory is where we earnestly covet the gifts, as Paul said, but also the devil's like, dang, they know him though. Oh yeah, they'll cast devils out in a heartbeat. They raise the dead. they're clicking all cylinders there, but peel back, you see their heavenly spiritual bank account loaded. Gold, they're rich there. And this is what he's saying to this church of Laodicea. They very well probably had it going on because they thought they're rich. So did the Matthew 7 preachers. So anyway, gold, that you may be rich. White garments, that you may be clothed. Did we ever pick the plane up? I feel like we didn't. Are we coasting? Sorry, at least no coffee's flying. We're kind of like,
just take your seatbelts off. You know, you enjoy the ride. Get up and go to the restroom if you need to.
Man, I was on this one plane going from, that's starting to come to me. Did I ever tell you the one to Columbia? I think I was my students. Boy, I had like a drug lord on there. It got dicey. Oof, security almost. Anyway, I got dicey. We're going to Columbia. I'll say that for another day. Just remind me. Well, no, it got heated. He was messing up my secret place. I was not happy. I'm trying to pray. Anyway. I'm good. Everything's good. I'm super easy. But you start messing with, you know, yeah. No, but this one lady is precious, Baptist lady, precious woman, because she just told me. I don't get into all that. They said, what denomination are you? Just love Jesus. And then they go, you're non-denominational. I'm like, well, I guess, whatever you want to put us in, because then that's become a denomination. So when you say you're not a denomination, like, you're non-denominational. Like, I just love this book, the king who wrote it, and we're trying to become like him. But I'm next to this Baptist lady on a plane. She was precious, sweet lady. And we're flying back from, I think, Miami to New Orleans. And if Tampa's in the middle, I forget. Is that right? Yeah. And we just got up in the air, and she was big faith, man. We don't know her, so I can say this. This has really happened. It was precious. She was big faith. Oh, the Lord, and this, that, and all about God. And the plane started going crazy. And she, boy, didn't have much faith anymore at all. Fast. She thought we were going to die. You could tell she was spouting. I was like, lady. And thank the Lord, not that I aced it, but I just, he had told me too much. The Lord, I was at peace. Thank goodness. But it was definitely the sketchiest to date plane ride. She was going down. And a plane, I think an engine was on fire. It was crazy. So this precious old lady up to the front right, elder lady, she tried to get up to the restroom. They wouldn't even let her. I said, ma'am, sit down. I was like, poor lady, she's got to go to the restroom, you know. But it was that tense. And so they had to do an emergency landing in Tampa. That's what it was. And we had fire trucks waiting. When you're landing, you see the fire truck waiting on the runway, you know it's serious. And then get this, they go, oh, just hang right tight. We're gonna fix it and take right off on the same plane. Everybody's like, no, we're not. I ain't falling for that one. Anyway. So, but white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see. So we'll jump to the Gospel of Mark here in a second. But intimacy, high price. And what you'll see here is that Jesus alludes to a price being paid on the gold and the white garments. And then when those are paid for, he just says, now anoint your eyes. So you don't really have to pay the price for the anointing of the eyes. That comes with the intimacy and the white garments, but you still have to anoint your eyes. But I propose the eyes to see clearly in this last hour, which is needed like never before. That's why the wise virgins in Matthew 25 need their lamps burning bright to see at midnight. The darkest hour is dark. Isaiah 60, deep darkness covering the people, darkness of the earth, deception at an all-time high. And we've got to see clearly in this hour, prophetically, intimately, all of it. Enlightened hearts, truth. Truth. We never come off of this book. And so, but paying the price in intimacy and purity right now. The Lord's really calling his bride away to be separate, apart from this world. The little compromises we've got to get out of. This is the price I'm talking about, because your flesh still wants to hang on to them. I'm telling you, the Lord this year is going to tell some, just delete all social media. Don't even get on it anymore. So it's wasting all of your time. And we're on it. Delete it, though. I don't care. He's wooing people around with a high price of intimacy and purity. All those relationships that you think you're having impact in, and they're not changing at all. They're actually starting to dull in your heart. They're putting your fire out. Cut them off. I was in Romans yesterday. He says, or was it the day before, Paul, he says, those that cause divisions and offenses, avoid them. What about go love them in the love of God, brother? Paul says, avoid them. They're weeds. Titus, he says, divisive ones. He says, cut them off. Warn them once and twice. But after that, he says, cut them off, or they're self-condemned. They're seared. Their consciences are seared. But even back to just the compromises of relationships, you know, we're not supposed to be having. The things we're watching and listening to, that they're permissible but not beneficial. See, this, if you want to stay in just beneficial, this is not the chapter. This is not, we're not on the same page. We're not talking the same thing. And again, I'm talking to me. Jesus is saying, bye. This will cost you. We're not talking greasy grace anymore. We're not going to just slip in by the love of God, brother. No, price, high price. If you don't pay it, no worries, I love you. My call stays the same. Will you fulfill it? Probably not. You'll stay in the good will of God. Not acceptable, not perfect, good. That's in Romans. If you want good, that's fine. Perfect will of God looks like a price. And he's wooing his bride now to pay it through intimacy and purity like we've never seen. Family's going to think you lost your marbles. That's fine. Wait till they see the fruit. Wait till your eyes go boom from the anointing, from the eye salve that hits. I'm telling you, just step out. Just go off the deep end in holiness and purity. Cut it all off. But anoint your eyes to see Mark chapter 8, and then we'll land at Song of Solomon 2. I just saw a parallel here I'd never seen before. Mark chapter 8 with the blind man, verse 22. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22, then he, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Verse 24, he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he, Jesus, put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. So again, this is another parable you could preach a million different ways, and I love it all the ways. But a fresh kind of way it was shown to me in parallel with Revelation 3 is you basically have this blind man, again, the intimacy, purity, to then see clearly. And Revelation 3 is going to end up, if you stay that course, people are going to be sitting on the throne with the Lord. There's going to be a new authority. I'm telling you. There's these installments where he says, Moses, if you lean and come over to this burning bush and hear my voice and obey, I'm going to turn you from a little shepherd boy. You're just watching the flock of your father-in-law to leading my entire children out of Israel, out of Egypt, I'm sorry. Gideon, there's these authority jumps that a lot of us are longing for our call to happen. And sometimes he's like, oh yeah, but you're a special one. You don't realize I have a call for you. It's just a very high call. It's a high call. There's a price that many don't pay to get there. I was just with Paul Keith, dear friend, and we're talking about similar things. We'll just be eating. And it's funny. Sometimes they just have the camera while we're eating because it just goes. And but yeah, same thing. You said, man, there's just a certain high call the Lord's looking for, and it's narrower than others. Not a lot, not as much allowed there as it is to others. And God's so good, he'll allow you to pick whatever tier you like. But if sometimes we could peel back and see the destiny he really has preset for you, he's like, you're a special one. It's just real costly. Your spirit's longing to, it's not a price to your spirit, your flesh though, to live holy and pure. And set apart, I'll empower you, I'll give you the grace. It's all me anyway. It's my righteousness. You're not going to earn a thing. It's just you aligning what I've done and that price in pursuing me, seeking me and loving me above all. And so I see it with this blind man. They bring him to Bethsaida, means house of fishing or house of hunting, like a fisherman's town. And you could even go there a whole direction where people's focus was on what they could get for them and their means, and they're just caught up in the horizontal. Because you'll see a great emphasis here where the Lord's got to get him out of the town. There's that separation. Some of us, he can't open our eyes until he separates us. You see, in Revelation 3, he's like, first, you've got to love me like never before. Go after, pay for this. This is going to cost you. White garments of a price. I'm asking for a price now in this hour that I've never asked of you before. Are you willing to take it? That's what he's basically saying. Do you want to coast? That's fine. I love you. I'll see you on the other side. You'll still enter pearly gates. All that's good. But I hear you crying a lot for me to use you and to fulfill my perfect will of God, the perfect one. That price is up here. And you're coasting right now. And I love you. That's not condemning. There's a price. And I need it to be paid. And so the blind man, I see it the same. It's intimacy first that then sustains the purity, and then eyes open. And then all of a sudden people are like, when you start sitting on the throne of the Lord, you're different. Same outfit, same hairdo, but people get around you like, nah, something's different. You come into rooms, the glory comes. You get around devils in the grocery store, they're like, something's different about you. People get around you, start pouring out their heart in brokenness because they sent this, there's something on you. You have the kingdom. It's a different authority. You'll notice like God's favor, even favor with man. You'll see in scripture, anytime the favor of God comes on somebody, the favor of man is right behind it. Always. Bianca read it. Loyalty and kindness, never let it leave you. For with it, you'll gain favor with God first, then man. So this is a whole other teaching, but Samuel and Jesus were the only ones that said they grew in stature and favor with both God and man. The favor with man is always after. So know this, if you're not finding a lot of favor horizontal with man, it's because the favor of God hadn't caught up yet. Because whenever that favor of God comes, it's in Isaiah 61 as well. When that favor comes, you can match it to the authority and being enthroned. The favor of man, you start noticing, it just starts taking off like a kite because it goes in tandem with the favor of God. It's never backwards. You see, so a lot of us think when we don't have favor with man, we think, man, people can't see me. I'll go on a whole other teaching. It's just powerful. With the authority, the throne, all of it's coming with clear eyes to see. So here Jesus is. Hear that plane? We're talking all the plane stories. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, remind me of the Colombian drug lord one. That was top three stories. It was so, oh my gosh. But anyway, what's that? It'll take too long. And it doesn't fit. And this is a very intimate, deep buying gold, man. This doesn't fit. This will fit in a different sermon. But anyway, the blind man, it says, they come to him, and I see this same parallel. Intimacy, purity, seeing. And it says they bring him to the Lord, begging the Lord to touch him. And it says the Lord grabbed him by the hand and took him out of the city, you know? And baby, I thought about this. You mind come help me? So I'll just hold your hand as a visual and walk you out of the city. It'll be totally epic. Except not, but you know what I mean? She's the only one I was thinking I would hold her hand. It'd be super weird if I was holding Tommy's hand or something. Yeah. People would be tuning in on YouTube like, I don't know about that church. So let's say Zoe, which none of this fits her, by the way, blind does none of it. And but say they bring the blind man to the Lord, that would be the intimate side first, you know, coming to him, that touch, that intimacy. They bring him, that's number one, we've got to come to him. Acts 4:13, it says they saw power and boldness on John and Peter and John. They said, man, what's up with that? And they noticed that they had been with Jesus. We've got to be with him, buying the gold. So that was the first key. Boom, and then Jesus said, sure. And they're thinking, hey, heal the blind eyes now. And Jesus, no, he's like, no, we need white garments. This is what he's calling for. There's separation right now. There's something in that town. You'll see, even after he healed, we'll do the walk in a second. After he healed the man, he says, go back to your house. Don't go to that town. And I was thinking of it in prayer, you know, we could kind of name it this, the town of lukewarmness, because that's when you haven't bought gold yet. There's a lukewarm thing in the earth, and we've got to come out of it. Wake up, church, me included. But a town called lukewarm in the county of compromise. It's the region. And Jesus, look, I can whip out a miracle, but I'm trying to do something deeper here. And open the eyes of the heart. I can open blind eyes, but open those eyes from Revelation 3, you know? And so he goes, yeah, so we'll do this. And so the intimacy happens, coming to the Lord, touch. And he goes, yeah, we got to get out of lukewarmness. We've got to pay a price here. And the county of compromises, little beneficial things that worked in seasons past, he's wiping them clean. I'm saying many people's lives are going to look empty because he's just trying to be it. That song at 324 is just Jesus back to him. He's it. He's the fix all. Him. Everything to him. So anyway, let's call this town, this area, compromise. So he pulls he grabs him by the hand. How many of you would love the Lord to walk you by the hand? That's crazy to me. That's crazy. And he spit. I love that the Lord spits. Yeah, I used to play baseball. So brings him over here. The big key here, we can stay here a bit, is get him out. And we're going to see it in Song of Solomon too. He's calling his bride out of things to open eyes. If we're honest with ourselves, this is why it's a price. Our flesh, we don't want to pay it sometimes. Sometimes the Lord will start the intimacy piece and he'll grab our hand and then he starts wanting to pull us out of what our flesh likes. The county of compromise, like, I don't know, Lord. We're blind. We don't know it because we think we can see. He's like, you're blind. I'm telling you, my assessment's right. You're blind. Please go with me. You don't know what's ahead. You want to be on the throne with me. There's authority. There's so much over there. Just trust me. But we'll do this and we'll tug with him. And he's so kind. He'll let you stay in the county of compromise. And that's where a lot of us miss it. We don't pay that price, but I still want to hang on to this, or I still want those relationships that make me feel good. I still want all the social media because the likes and the comments and the nonsense that's wasting your life. Please hear me. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. So many minuscule things in life that are just keeping your fire like a little candle instead of sort of a raging, burning fire of love. I'm telling you, he's putting his hand on all kind of stuff right now. And if you say, no, I want that, he'll have it. But man, and he'll just sit there right here off to the side and burn and love you and know what his perfect will would have been, but he still loves you in his good will. And he's going to hang. He's with you. And he'll still talk to you and relate to you. And that's where we get it confused because he's still with us. And we think, I'm in the will of God. Maybe, but maybe a lesser tier. And so we've got to let him take us out of it. Go out of it. Get out of it. Get out of it. So I can just feel it, man. And so he comes over here, and now he's out of it. He's out of the compromise is gone. The town of lukewarm, the person's burning. He's out of the conditions that just keep your flame dull. Your convictions, you kind of get seared. Your heart stays seared in that county because compromise is common in that realm. He'll pull you out of it, then he'll spit. Yeah, this occasion he spit actually in the eyes. I think John 9, a different county, spit and made mud, but opened his eyes that he could see. And then he says, go back to your house now because I've changed you. Go back to your Matthew 6 closet because you're burning now. You're no longer lukewarm. You're no longer in compromise. Do not, remember we read it together, do not go into that town. And he says, don't even talk to anybody in the town. So thanks, babe. You want to give it up to Zoe? She did amazing. And see, let's read that again. It's so powerful. He says in verse 26, then he sent him away to his house. Like Jesus got specific right there. He didn't just say, okay, you're healed. Go on your way. He said, listen to me. We'll do Tim again, but I know we got my man Tim here. Don't we have another Tim somewhere? Or is he not here this morning? Well, you're the only one. He's like, Tim, listen to me. Now this is our game plan. This is the route we're running. You're going to your house. You rarely see the Lord do that, but it mattered that much because that town, it had that aura about it. And it looks like the life of compromise and lukewarm. That's why these people that you're still running with, and they just kind of, they don't get convicted about the slightest things. I'm telling you, distance yourself. What about unity and reaching the lost? Reach the lost, but set them on fire or either one or the other. One or the other. Show them the heart, the highway, the narrow path. Preach it, live it, burn bright. Be filled with light, but don't dim it for anybody.